Parshas Baloscha, hasn't it? The grand march. Kla Yisrael, about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, the formation, the chatrotros, the trumpets. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael, please do not forsake us, inasmuch as you know our encampments in the wilderness, and you have been as eyes for us, and it shall be that if you come with us, and with the goodness of which Hashem will benefit us, we will do good to you. This is it. Now, Sima Nachdu, Kla Yisrael are ready, finally, to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the Chumash continues, they journeyed for the mountain of Hashem, a three-day distance, and the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem journeyed before them, a three-day distance, to search out for them a resting place. The cloud of Hashem was over them by day when they journeyed from the camp. The excitement is building. They're about to go in. The Aron is a three-day journey ahead of them, ready to have them enter into Eretz Yisrael. And then, Pasuk Lamed Hey, when the Ark would journey, Moshe says, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, and let your foes be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from before you. Uvenucho Yomar, and when it rested, he would say, reside tranquility, O Hashem, among the myriad thousands of Israel. And then the next pasuk, the people took to seeking complaints. What happened? Kala Yisrael were ready to go in. Vaheben so Aaron, the Aaron is traveling. Everyone is ready. And then we have, and the complaints. So here, Chazal tell us that before Vaheben so Aaron and after, right? Arise Hashem, the enemies are going to go. They're just going to flee and we're literally going to go in. Hashem's going to rest among us. This is going to be great. There are inverted nuns, to make it almost like a section in its own right. And one opinion in Chazal is exactly that. That these psukim, Rav Munk brings down to Gemara and Shabbos, Kuftet Zayin, these psukim are a sefer Torah b'fnei atzmo. They are a Torah in its own right. It's as if, and this is based on the pasuk in Mishlei, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. Chatzva Amudah Shiva, that there's really seven books of Chumash, not five books. You have Breishit Shemot Vayikros 3, but Midbar until Vayibin So Aaron, until that nun, Vayibin So Aaron is book number 5. After Vayibin So Aaron, when the people complain till the end of Midbar, and then you have the seventh book is Sefer Zohar. So the obvious question is, these two psukim are Sefer Torah in their own right. I understand they're telling me, and there's a lot of different opinions in Chazal, what these inverted nuns are about. This is not our focus of our shir today. I understand you're telling me that there's something special about these psukim. But to say that they're Sefer Torah in their own right, after all, this is our question, ask them Sivas Shalom. U'b'chol chumash v'tarah ne'mu mitzvot shanot. Generally, the Torah was given lo rot lanu to teach us. And here, psukim elu l'chora lo nemar af mitzvah. There is no mitzvah here. So, like, what is it? What are these psukim about? You want to tell me that they are considered a sefer chashuv b'fnei atzmo? That this is a book in its own right? What type of book is it? What am I supposed to learn from this book? That's going to be our overall question. Our second question, which is in 1A, is that these psukim vaheben so Aaron uvenucho yomar are very familiar to us. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But when we come to take out the Torah, every time Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, we say vaheben so Aaron. And when we put back the Torah, we begin the paragraph uvenucho yomar. And the question is, what's the connection? Or what should we be thinking about? When we take out the Torah, we put it back, we say these psukim, what should be going through our minds? Those are the two focuses for today. I'll say at the outset that the Zosa Torah of Schlesinger in Source 4 quotes the Marsha that speaks about the Nun is this level of the Nun Sharibina, the highest level of wisdom. It's about levels we don't understand. It's about the esoteric wisdom of Torah. And that these two psukim have in it the depths of Torah that we can't possibly understand. Hence the Nuns are inverted, which means it's beyond our capacity for understanding, and there's a lot of depth here. Well, that's very nice, my friends. If we only left with that, we would end this shiur right now, 5 minutes into it. That was a pretty short shiur, about how much attention span most people have. However, my friends, I'm mentioning the Marsha because I want us to understand that there is a lot here, more than meets the eye, and we have to appreciate that. There's also the idea that the Klei Yakar brings. I also want to make note of this in source 5, that indeed there is one mitzvah here. Uvenucha yomar, shuv Hashem. Hashem will only return on the myriads of Israel. There has to be a certain amount of Jews for Hashem's Shekhinah, divine presence, to rest. And this is the mitzvah, Puruvu, the first mitzvah of the Torah. So because it's the first mitzvah of the Torah, and Hashem created the world to be able to populate it, it deserves its own book. The Klei Yakar l'shitato, according to his whole approach, which I'm not going through here, it's worth learning, is that this then explains all the subsequent psukim. When the Jewish people heard that there has to be a bare minimum, they said, oh, bochel mishpachotav, which our rabbis explained that they cried by their families, means, hey, we can't marry anyone we want to marry. On the one hand, you're telling me we have to a certain amount of people. On the other hand, you're telling me that we can't marry anyone we want to marry. Hey, that's not fair. And that's what it means, achanu tadagah, remember the fish. Not that they remembered the fish. They remember how they could populate like fish, who are known, v'idgula rov v'kerav haaretz. That's the Klei Yakar. Having said that, there is a lot more depth here. Just to add one more piece of framework before beginning our two-level study, the Be'er HaTorah in 6a quotes the Hakdama of the Netziv. The Netziv points out the dynamics of these three books in Bamidbar. And he says Bamidbar is really an echo of Vayavdel Elokim ben Ha'or ben Ha'Choshech. And Hashem separated between light and darkness. The light, that parallels the fourth book. The light represents until Vayhi B'Tzarah, where Klai Yisrael went in almost the supernatural. The Choshech represents what comes afterwards, the time of sin and the Meraglim and Korach and all the darkness. This is a Sefer B'fnei Atzmo because this is a transition. This is a transition between the Lamala Min HaTeva, above the natural order, and the world of Teva, the natural order, the transition, as the Orgadayahu points out, between the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, which we'll talk more about in Mirtz Hashem today, and really, Vayhi B'Tzarah, Tachlis HaMekafeh. This is what the goal is. The goal is to live in a world of complete dedication to Hashem, where Hashem is going to fight all of our wars, and we're going to be completely connected to Hashem, that Hashem will reside on us. This is like the ultimate, and this is like the goal to reach. Okay, my friends, so now we understand that there are really seven books of Torah and not five books of Torah, and that this, the fifth book, is a book in its own right. We have to ask ourselves, aside from the Marsha and the Klei Yakar, we have to ask ourselves, what is this book here to teach us, right? A book is here for a reason. It's here for a lesson. What is this Sefer Torah B'fnei Atzmo? And I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, look today on two levels. One is the national level, and one is the individual level. On the national level, we'll have three parts, 1A, B, and C. On the individual level, we'll have 1A and B, 2A and B, and the A's will parallel, and the B, C, and the B will also parallel. That made sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense to you as well. Just that we get the structure of the first level, we're going to take a look at Vayhi B'Tzarah Aron, when the Aron traveled, the Aron representing the Torah, the Aron representing the Jewish people, and the Aron representing a specific part of Torah, a specific part of the people. That will be 1A, B, and C. We'll begin with Rav Hirsch, 1A. Rav Hirsch is amazing, glorious. The law giving of Sinai had been completed, source 8. Had the people already attained the lofty level required for the fulfillment of the Torah, their subsequent history would have been completely different and less complicated. From God's mountain, they would have traveled immediately to God's land to fulfill the Torah in the land, the sanctuary of the Torah, and the people of the Torah would have reached their zenith in the land, casting light far out to all the nations. Now, this is but a vision for the end of days. Like Israel's history, the history of mankind would have taken a different course. But the people have not yet reached the lofty heights of their calling. The verses that follow take us into the midst of the camp and introduce a series of aberrations. Ultimately, it will become clear that this entire generation was unworthy of entering the land of the Torah, that the possession of the land over the succeeding centuries was only a part of the educational period of Israel history. This is a vision. We're not there yet. And that's why this is a Sefer Torah b'fnei atzmo. What does this portion teach us? What is the message? So it's really a twofold message. One is the following. Now, as we know, the ark neither set out nor came to rest at Moshe's behest. Yet Moshe called upon it to set out and to come to rest, as though what had already been done had yet to be done. Here we have an expression of man's total identification with the will of God. One who reaches this level accepts God's will as though it were their own. This exalted quality of selfless acquiescence in and self-identification with the will of God is the very antithesis of the low state of mind in which Moshe's generation was still mired, as will be shown by the events that will happen. This is in the end of days. Will this be a national characteristic of the entire people? So on the one hand, Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, right? Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem. Right? Moshe, Rabbeinu, Kivyochol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were like so in sync together. This was Hashem's will. Moshe Rabbeinu made his will God's will. That's going to be only for the future. Vayhi ben Soa Aaron represents that perfected state, that state of complete connection to God. Uvenucho Yomar, and Hashem rests upon us, and we all live happily ever after. Amazing. Great. At the same time, this vision is worked toward in Vayhi ben Soa Aaron. That in order to get to this vision, Vayhi ben Soa Aaron offers us a path to get to this vision, or a vision to get to this vision. And that is looking at the Aaron and looking at Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. It was regarding the Aaron in 10, bottom left of the second page, the Ark of the Torah, that Moshe made a statement. When the ark would journey forth and when it would come to rest, Moshe would call to God himself to arise or to return. Thus the Torah's journeys were in his sight God's expeditions on earth. Where the Torah finds no home, there is no home for God's presence. And where there is no dwelling place for the Torah, there is a dwelling. And where there is a dwelling place for Torah, there's a dwelling place for God's presence. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there are going to be many enemies waiting for the Torah immediately upon its entry into the world. Its demands for justice and love stand in sharp opposition to the dictates of force and selfishness whose curse is felt so keenly by the weak and the needy. The Torah's enemies, who tactfully conspire to form an all-encompassing barrier to Torah, which seeks to dwell on earth. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, in order to reach this vision, we need to have Torah. We need that Klai shall be that Or LaGoyim. We need to have Torah permeate the entire world. Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, when the Aaron moves, Kum Hashem, we're davening that you Hashem should get rid of all those enemies. All those people who stand up against Torah values, please Hashem, wipe them out, that we can have a world where the Torah can be able to be, and the people of the Torah, in sync with Hashem. The Torah's demand at 11 for self-control, moral sanctification, stands in sharp opposition to the allurements of our world. Hence the individuals in the masses of all classes are not only the Torah's enemies, but the Torah is not only hated by them, it's persecuted by them. Nevertheless, Moshe knew that ultimately the Torah would prevail, because the Torah's journeys are Hashem's expeditions in society and in people's hearts. And because the Torah's enemies and haters are enemies and haters of God's kingdom on earth, that is precisely why Moshe made a statement. When the Ark of the Torah set out, he was confident that the Torah would complete its course on earth, and that when the Torah would intervene in the world, the coalition of enemies would disperse. If our approach is not mistaken, to summarize our first, these two verses capsulize the history of Israel and mankind, a history that began with Moshe's divine mission. It's therefore fitting that these two verses form an entire book in itself, an important book in its own right. This is the vision, my friends. This is the vision of what the world is about. Why is it a Sefer Torah if they ask for? Because this is Torah. Torah is about the vision that Torah is going to go forth and it's going to affect the world. It's going to bring a world into a moral order, into a world of justice, a world that recognizes God, and a world that allows God to rest in this world, to be able to be among the people of this world. And that's the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu has in order to reach that final vision where we are completely connected to Hashem and the world is a Torah-tical world. So that's 1A. Why is this a Sefer Torah b'fnei atzmo, a book in its own right? Because it's the vision of what the function of Torah and the goal of Torah is all about. 1B, Rav Sacks, is that these two psukim are about Hasod shel Netzach Yisrael. This is the secret of the Jewish people. And we know, my friends, that the Jewish people have gone through galus from one place to another. It's the pasuk in Tehillim, Vaitachu migoy al goy umamalacha al amacher. They traveled from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another. And indeed, the travels of the Jewish people in the Midbar parallel, as Yechezkel speaks about, the Midbar Ha'amim, the nations traveling through the world as well. Where we travel through the nations of the world, that's our Midbar. So just like the Torah is traveling, we too travel. And these two psukim really reflect the two different phases and stages of Jewish history. There is one phase of Jewish history, which is the first pasuk. Kum Hashem ve'yafutzoi vecha ve'yanusu mitzonecha mipanecha. That we daven that Hashem should get rid of the enemies that try to destroy the Jews. And here in the bracket of sakanahi l'kiyum ha'gufani shal Yisrael, they try to destroy us on a physical level. That Jewish people are living in their nation, and they're trying to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of their ability. The Aron is in place, the Torah institutions are in place, and the enemies come and try to destroy them. The pogroms, the crusades, the Holocaust, all of these throughout history were trying to stop the Jews from being Jews. On this level, by Hebet Soa Aron, when the Aron travels, when Jewish people are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then allow all of those, Hashem help, that all of those enemies that try to destroy us, those people that shoot up synagogues in Pittsburgh and different in California, all of these people, Titian and Lava Malka and Muncie, all of these people should be destroyed. Uvenuchel Yomar, and when we rest. So he says, this is referring to when the asterisk circled, when Klai Yisrael Hunenem Yishivuis Chuyot Male Yachanim Kol Yeter Ezrachei Aretz. But suddenly we become like the people. We're resting. You know, equal rights, emancipation, Haskala. We become like the nations of the world. At that time, we're not worried as much about our physical condition. We're worried about our spiritual condition, right? We know that there are two major prototypes of people trying to destroy us. There are the paros who try to kill us, right? Throw the babies into the water. And then there are the lovans. They just try to destroy us through love, through assimilation, through becoming like them. And this is the second pasuk. Uvenuchel Yomar. When we have this resting, we dive into Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able, in the language of the Ol Moshe in 14, Uvenucho b'sham margoa, when things are at rest, sh'as fuyah sakana shel timiyah, shel ibolulot, then we're worried about what? Assimilation. O azid rashim luzaka shuva Hashem rivos alfa Yisrael, then we cry out, Hashem, return the myriads of Israel. Hashevet kol alafim v'ravot shel Yisrael l'mkoma, help bring back the Jews back to Yiddishkeit. She yisku lachzor l'shuv l'yakrovim el Hashem. This is the davening, that people can come back to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, it's brought down in the Svarim, like, are you able to daven for someone to do tshuva? Because after all, tshuva, repentance, is someone's own free will. And the answer is absolutely. You can daven that a person should have the inspiration, should have the people, should have the insight, and the inspiration is the best word, that they want to do tshuva, that they want to come back to Hashem. So, v'nucho yomar, shuva Hashem rivos alfa Yisrael, we're davening, Hashem, help return these people. And this is the tefillah that Yom HaZeh, that those who are dispersed among Klal Yisrael don't even know that they're Jewish, that they should be able to come back, to have opportunities to taste the beauty of Yiddishkeit. And those who are involved in all of these expenditures to bring these Jews back, that they should have success. This is what we're talking about. And today we really have both. We have the assimilation, and we have the anti-Semitism. We have both going on right now, that these two psukim are like really a tefillah, that Hashem should get rid of our enemies that are trying to destroy us physically, as well as the more insidious type of enemies that are trying to destroy us spiritually. With this, Rav Schlossinger and Eila HaDvarim adds that this is perhaps what Moshe Rabbeinu is alluding to. He says, the sakana the tarbutid vayimadumi maaseyem, that we learn of their ways, is a very, very powerful pull that people have. And that perhaps is the model of the psukim right before that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yitro, vayita lanu leinayim, you'll be for us as eyes. What will that mean? It means on a deeper level that when we have this danger of people being assimilated, you will be the model that people can see that you're able to withstand. You're able to hold on tight to those who are trying to go against the flow, and that you can be strong and be able to stand up the oz ruach u'gvura against all the nisyonos, against all the technology and other things that are trying to pull a person away from the relationship with Hashem. So this is really about Jewish history, and it's contemporary until today, that when we take out the Torah, we put it back, that we should have this in mind, that Hashem should protect us both from our outer enemies and our inner enemies. I'll just add here, which is equally contemporary, but Pincus adds another dimension in Source 16. He says, you know, we hear about the Intifada and the fear of the Intifada, and unfortunately we're going through that right now in Eretz Yisrael, this inner tension with the Arabs rioting. And he says, I'll give you a formula of how to stop the Intifada. He says, when you have Vayhi ben Soa Aron, when the Aron Kodesh, Hainu HaTorah Kedosha, squiggly in 16, Nosimi Makom LaMakom, travel from place to place, and doesn't rest in any one place. It's not in one yeshiva, it's not in one city, but it's a b'chol bayit b'bayit, magia Aron Kodesh, in every single house the Aron Kodesh will be found and learning Torah. Then the Torah has the power to push away the enemies. Uvenucho yomar, however, if the Torah rests in one place, so then we have to ask Hashem, please David, that the Torah should be, that people should be able to return to Torah, that it should be found in many more places for this protection. That Torah is a muggin. The Torah is a protection, and we have to be very well aware of this. Okay. So, my friends, what we see now is 1A. This is about Vayhi ben Soa Aron, about the Torah. The Torah goes on a journey. 1B, the people are going on a journey. This is encapsulation of Jewish history. And this is what it's about, that Hashem, we daven for the outer and inner enemies, that we should be able to be strong, to be able to come to that ultimate perfection of our relationship with Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach, etc. Then we have 1C. 1C is going to focus in on one aspect of Torah and one aspect of the Jewish people. I'll say at the outset that this idea, which comes from the Shvili Pinchas, is very deep. It's very complex. It has many layers to it. And I usually shy away from this type of Torah because it's a little bit out there and less maybe relevant for our lives. However, I chose it because I think there is a very powerful message that I do want to bring based on what he's saying. As well as it's important, I think, at times to see the Ayin Panim LaTorah, the 70 layers of Torah. So I'm going to ask from you, your indulgence, to put your seatbelt on, sit back, relax. We're going on a journey. It's a little bit of a Kabbalistic type of journey into the deeper worlds of Torah, which is very fascinating. We're going to have a lot of introductions, a lot of like puzzle pieces, and then we're going to put them together. So let's begin our journey, and we'll see a deeper understanding, a very, very fascinating understanding of what Vayhi ben Soa Aron is about, and what we should be thinking about when it comes, we take it out. 19. There is an idea of Rav Tzedek HaKohen that all sevens really parallel the seven midos, right? The seven books parallel the seven midos. Really, all sevens parallel the seven midos. We just finished Tzviras HaOmer, the Chesed, the Gvura, Tiferet. These are the seven midos. If that's the case, so then Vayhi ben Soa Aron is the fifth book, right? Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, until Vayimen Sora. Vayimen Sora is the fifth book. After Vayimen Sora, it's at the end, it's sixth of Bamidbar, and the seventh is Dvarim. What is the fifth Midah? It's Hod, it's splendor. We know in Eicha, the Pasuk says, Natani Shomima, Kol Yom Dava, he has made me desolate, wretched all day long. According to the Arizal, this Pasuk alludes to the fact that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in proximity to the fifth millennium, which corresponds to the fifth Midah of Hod, and this is hinted out of Kol Hayom Dava. The word Dava is an anagram, Dalet Vav Hey, of Hod, same letters. That this is the time of Hod, the fifth millennium. It's the time of Ahi bin Soa Aron, where the Aron is traveling. There's no more Beit HaMikdash, there's no more temple. All we have is the Arba Amos Halacha, the four Amos of law, of the tablets that are found in the Aron. Now, we know that just like the Aron, when it traveled in the desert, Parshat Maaseh tells us it traveled in 42 travelings, so too the Jewish people in the desert of the nation also go through multiple travels. This is hinted at in the Megale Amukos, the first words in the Pasuk in Maaseh, the travels. Pasuk says, Ve'ela Maaseh B'nei Yisrael, these are the travels of the Jewish people. This forms an acronym, Ela is Aleph of Edom, the Mem Maaseh is Madai, the Bet is Bavel, the Yud is Yavon for the four major exiles, and even the cantillations note this. The cantillations over these four words are Azla Gerash Munach Ravia. Azla Gerash means that they were driven, Azla, they left and were driven out. That's what literally Azla Gerash means. Munach Ravia. Munach means it was placed. Ravia is four. They were placed in the four exiles. And this is Vayhi ben Soa Aron becomes the paradigm. Just like it traveled during the sojourn of the Jewish people of the desert, the Torah is going to be sojourning through the exile of the Jews, where there's no Beit HaMikdash, and this is what this is the period that we're living in. So the first thing that we've established is the fifth book is Hod, is splendor. The splendor, the Beit HaMikdash, has been taken away, and now we are just left with a remnant of that splendor, which is in the fifth millennium it happened, which is beginning, which is just the Luchos, the Torah, the Aron. That's idea number one. Idea number two, introduction number two, Baruch HaMeshmetz. And that is, Yistaka b'Torah uvara alma, Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Baruch HaMeshmetz says that since Hashem created the world, the Aron 21, with the Holy Torah, it has divisions just like the Torah. Just as the Torah is divided up into longer passages and shorter passages, so too the world that was created with the Torah is divided up into countries of varying sizes. Furthermore, every place on earth is sustained by some portion of the Torah that is related specifically to that place. And that's why sometimes a person will be learning something and they can't understand it, and then they go to another Beis Medrash, they go to another city, they go to Eretz Yisrael, another country, and it suddenly becomes clear to them. Every place in the world has its Torah, right? Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. On a deeper level means that Hashem apportioned out a different type of Torah to be found in different places in this world. Albeit, the Chumash tells us, if you have a matter of judgment which is hidden from you, you shall rise and ascend to the place that Hashem your God shall choose, namely Yushalayim, because Yushalayim contains within her all the parts of the Torah, and therefore whatever eluded you previously will now become revealed to you. So we have idea number one, that this is a reference to the traveling Torah in the in Golos. Idea number two is that really every place in this world has a point of Torah connected to it. Yerushalayim is the place that has, right, the world was really created from the point of the Beit HaMikdash from Yerushalayim, has the entirety of Torah found within it. That was idea number two. Now, idea number three. Introduction 3:23. We know that when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai to receive the Torah, it says, You shall be from, if you now you will listen to my words and you will keep my covenant, you will be a treasure to me from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. The Rechaim HaKadosh interprets this pasuk based on Chazal's statement that Hashem only exiled Israel among nations in order to add converts, gerim, to their numbers. In Shaar HaPsukim in Shmos, the Arizal explains, as a consequence of the sin of Adam HaRishon, sparks of Kedusha fell into the realm of Tumah and were scattered throughout the world among the nations. Therefore, the Jews were exiled from one far land to another in order to retrieve and elevate those fallen sparks back to the realm of Kedusha. This is the message being conveyed by Chazal. They're referring to the Nitzutzei Kedusha that were scattered among the nations of the world, and they are called Gerim, they are called the strangers, as a result of the Jewish people's work in Galus to being retrieved from the realm of Tumah and reconnected with the realm of Kedusha. Had the Jews not sinned, then all of these sparks would have had a magnetic pull toward Eretz Yisrael, and we would have been able to do all of this work here. Let me explain number three a little bit clearer. When Adam HaRishon was created, he was created with the purpose of bringing godliness into this world, quote Shemayim, God's glory into this world. Adam HaRishon failed in this attempt on the level of Adam HaRishon, and then we have what we call the Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels, which means that all of these holy sparks just became scattered throughout the world in impure places. And our job, it's a Kabbalistic concept, is that when I take this Shtender, for example, and I elevate this Shtender by davening and learning on it, I've taken the sparks, right? We know there's atoms, neurons, electrons, and everything. There are also spiritual sparks, not just, you know, on a scientific, physics level. It's on a spiritual level. I take these sparks and I elevate it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then this Shtender becomes something greater. You know, I think about that, you know, every week when I Chas Hashem begin preparing this shiur, I take out 8 white sheets of paper, and I like, you know, it's like a davening, a meditation. Hashem, help me be able to take these 8 papers and turn them into Torah, right? It's picking up the sparks of the paper, picking up the sparks of the scissors, the glue. I know I'm old-fashioned. I should be using a computer. I just love the feel of glue and scissors. And I'm old-fashioned. I'm Malta. Hodu Hashem. I have no problems with that. You know, just to share with you something that had nothing to do with anything. My daughter was learning to become a ganenet, a kindergarten teacher. She needed to look at Dapei Kesher, the sheets that the parents sent home. So I borrowed it from a friend of mine who has a kindergarten kid. And my daughter looks at them and commented that the teacher is just like only relating very little of what she did during the week. Like most of what she taught isn't found on these sheets. So I mentioned that to this mother on Thursday when I gave her back that booklet. You know, and the mother laughed. She said, we don't need to have sheets. And she pulled out her iPhone, and she says, I get 3 to 4 WhatsApp videos every day of what goes on in the Gan. Who needs writing anymore? You just have videos. So we're living in a different world, my friends. I'm not there yet. Not running there either. But that's nishta here. Let me get focused back here. Sparks. This is it. There are sparks all over the world. Our job is to pick up the sparks that are found in different places. So now, my friends, we understand. So when it says that we're there to pick up the converts, not necessarily people only. Converts are the gerim, the strangers, those that are strange in these lands. These sparks need to be picked up. In the ideal world, all of our Torah would be learned in Yerushalayim. In the ideal world, all the sparks would come to Eretz Yisrael. We'd be living happily ever after. Vayhibin Soa Aron is the vision when things fell. The upside down Nun. The world has been inverted. The Nefila. Nun stands for Nofa, right? Like in Ashrei, we don't have the Nun. The inverted world where things aren't perfect. When that doesn't happen, then Vayhibin Soa Aron forms for us the vision of what Klal Yisrael are going to do. They are going to go from place to place, picking up the Torah in these places, picking up the sparks in these places. Hence we understand. Hence we understand definitive proof of this phenomenon. They have to wander from exile and place to reveal to retrieve all the portions of Torah connected to the various locations of the world. 26, second paragraph. Definitive proof of this phenomenon is evident from the first Golos. After the Churban, after destruction, Jews were exiled to Bavel, where they revealed the Talmud Bavli. To this day, it illuminates for us the darkness of exiles. And in other words, Hashem provided us with the Talmud of Bavel to illuminate for us the darkness of the Golos. In a similar fashion, Yisrael were exiled from one place to another to reveal the portions of Torah that were concealed there. For instance, our sacred Rishonim, who were like Malachim, including Rashi and all the French Tosafos, revealed incredible portions of the Torah in France. Similarly, there were the Rishonim and scholars of Spain, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Rosh, whose waters of Torah we drink from and thirst for, our, whose Torahs will illuminate the way for us until the coming of the righteous Redeemer. And this provides us with a very nice interpretation of the Mishnah, exile yourself to a place of Torah. When a person leaves home to study Torah in another city, he should not complain that he is being compelled to go into exile. Instead, he should believe wholeheartedly that he is being exiled to a place of Torah. In other words, Hashem, the grand orchestrator, has arranged for him to reach that particular location. For there he will find the portion of Torah that is uniquely his and is related to the essence of his neshama. The world is like a hidden treasure of Torah, of sparks, and it's not the ideal world, but even so our own is the upside-down nose. But when we're in this Golus Ha'amim, we have to understand what our job is. It's to pick up these parts, it's to pick up this Torah, and be able to elevate it to a higher, elevate it to Hashem, to be able to bring back that vision of Vayhi Ben Tzoharon, of living completely a Kvod Shamayim, that Rav Hirsch imagery of being in sync with Hashem's will. Now, before I bring the punchline of the Shvili Pinchas, of what does this have to do with being a Sefer B'nai Atzma, it's a Gevaldic punchline, I'd just like to insert here a parenthesis, which I think has very practical ramification for us in a very esoteric topic. And that's Rav Wilson. Rav Wilson, in Source 27, Ulavina inyam azeh yesh lomar dinei yadua sheyesh nitzotzos amifuzarim v'chol kelchei olam. We know there's sparks all over the world. Shehem chokei kedusha nimsa'im b'shivya, that are sparks of holiness that are found in captivity through the sin of Adam Arishon, and they are heim omdim umitzapim l'tikunam, in the bracket, they are waiting to be rectified through B'nai Israel coming to that place where the sparks are, being involved in Torah, in tefillah, in davening, or in doing a mitzvah. And this is why we were sent into Golos, l'takein kol nitzotam v'fuzarim b'chol ha'olam, to be able to bring about all the sparks that are found in this world. Notes the Rav Wilson. We know that the year is divided up into tekufos, into periods. We just finished the period of light, which came from Tu Bishvat through Adar, Nisan, Sfira, Sivan, and it ends really Kaf Sivan. Kaf Sivan, which we know was a terrible tragedy in the Crusade period, if I'm not mistaken, begins the period of Tammuz and Av, of the Churban, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is a time of mourning, of darkness. And, my friend, Va'al Kain, 28th on the top, they are also based on the Maral, Yamim Elu Muyadim L'Tikun HaNitzel Samu V'Zarim B'chol HaMekomos. Because it's a time of Churban, it's a time we have to work on building up the Churban. Really working on creating, right, all these Avas Yisrael projects being started, working on fixing the destruction. So one of the ways to fix it is to be able to find as many sparks as possible. And he says, V'lachein nikba seder ha'olam. This is why the world, we sometimes have a backwards vision of the world. This is why, at least in our hemisphere, the world is such, shebetkufazu, in this period of Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the people take on vacation. They can go to Cape Cod, they can go to Puerto Rico, they can go to Eretz Yisrael, not necessarily in that order. They travel. And Hashem leads you where you're supposed to go. In the bracket of 28, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh teaches us, Shadam Slavur Shetechli Misiyato Hula Shem Menucha V'tanu. You think you're going for rest and relaxation. You go to Cape Cod to go fishing. Aval La'emes, the truth is, Shetechli Nanusiyahi Mishum Shevakom Ahu Nimsa'im Chokei Nitzotzos HaShechim Daika L'shor Shishmato. You're really fishing for the sparks that are connected to you. V'hei mamtinim alav. They're waiting for you to be able that through you, you can say a bracha in this place. You can do a mitzvah in this place. You can learn Torah in this place. You can daven in this place. You ever like go on vacation somewhere and you, like, you turn to your family and say, why did we choose this place? Like, whose great idea was this? And this is the answer you give to those people, particularly when it was your great idea. This is the place that our neshama needs in order to rectify these particular sparks at this particular time. Let's make the most kedusha we can. Brachos out loud, davening, tefillah, and then you stand your breath so that we never come back to this place again. We have picked up all the sparks we need to pick up. Okay. This, he goes one step further, and he says, there's a gevaldik targum yonasam, Parashat Bamidbar, when he talks about the degolim, about the flags, he says that we know there were four main tribal leaders, Yehuda on the east, Reuven on the south, Ephraim on the west, and Dan in the north, and each one had another pasuk on their flag. By Yehuda, it was Kum Hashem Yefutzei Vecha, our pasuk, Dan on the top, Uvenucho Yomar, Reuven, Shema Yisrael, and Ephraim of the pasuk of Anan Hashem Aleim Yomam Benasam Min HaMachaneh, and that the Anan was on them. When we take out the Sefer Torah, which we know, my friends, is the reminding us of the journey of Klal Yisrael in the Gullus, right? 600,000 letters in the Torah, 22 letters in the alphabet, 22 myriads of people that Hashem will rest on. When we take out the Torah, it's reminding us of the journeys that not only the Torah goes through, but that we go through with the Torah, right? First level, second level connected, that we go through with the Torah. As we journey through, we have to remember that our job is to pick up the sparks. So, Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, very nice to sing it, right? But when you sing it, recognize that we're now taking out the Torah. Our job is to find those sparks of Kedusha, those sparks of holiness. And that's why we also say Shema Yisrael. You ever wonder why we say Shema Yisrael when we take out the Torah? Shema Yisrael is said because this was also a pasuk that was said by on the traveling of Reuven. He says we don't bring the traveling of Ephraim, that pasuk, because that was one of the parnios, that the fact that they left so quickly. So we don't like to mention that pasuk. We're focusing on it, and we bring it back, Uvenucho Yomar, of Dan, like that sandwich of recognizing that our travels have to be connected with this aspect of looking for sparks and being able to recognize what we're here for in this world. This is our focus. Now, my friends, if we understand this, we can now appreciate what this has to do with Vayhi ben Soa Aaron. Listen closely. Back to Shvi Pinchas in 29. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Ki Torah mi si teitse, Torah will come forth from me. And the Medrash says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah chadasha mi ti teitse, Chidush Torah mi ti teitse. Hashem Kivyachol said, a new Torah will come from me. Novel interpretations of the Torah will come forth from me. And the Drash of Tchafel of Topher in the asterisk in 29, he explains that this Midrash is depicting the situation of Lasi Lava in the future. For then Hashem will reveal all the Chidushim, all the novel interpretations of the Torah that Torah scholars propose throughout the generations and intuited the true meaning of the Torah. Listen closely, my friends. 29, 30, 31. We'll do it outside. It's Gevaldik. We know that originally all of Tar Shebal Peh, all of the oral tradition, was found on the first luchos, on the first tablets. When the first tablets were broken, it all flew into the air. And all of this Torah, again, like the sparks and like the Torah that's planted in every different locale, flew into the air and it's scattered. Every scholar in every generation that comes to learn Torah, whether it's Rashi in France, whether it's the Ramban in Spain, it doesn't matter, Rav Moshe Feinstein in America, wherever a person is, those individuals are being able to pull out the Torah of that place, the sparks of that place, and to retrieve the original writing of the Luchos. all of this novel interpretation, all of these ideas, all these Chidushei Torah, says the Chasam Sofer, that's what the Medrash alludes to when it says there's going to be a new Torah from me. What does this mean? It means that Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron, these Tukim, which talk about, as we've shown, the traveling of the Jewish people, and particularly the scholars and all the generations that have retrieved the Torah and the spark from those different places, and have written all of these insights, all of this Torah that they have accumulated is now going to be written in one sefer. And that is going to be the expansion of Vayihi ben Soa Aharon. Vayihi ben Soa Aharon, v'ruchu yomar, is two psukim now. But in the future, this is going to be a new sefer. It's going to be the sefer. It is 85 words. 85 is Torah Sheba'al Peh, oral Torah. The oral tradition, as we said from the Orgadayahu, this is the beginning of the oral time, the oral tradition, and all of this, it will expand the Sefer by Ibn Sa'ar on the asterisks in 30. It will become a larger Sefer, including all the novel insights and interpretations of the Torah proposed by Torah scholars throughout the Golios. Wow. So the Ibn Sa'ar isn't just a small two Sukkim, it's going to be larger than the whole Chumash put together many times. And it's going to be the Torah of the traveling, the Torah that was retrieved. So, my friends, first level 1A is Torah. Torah is going from place to place, that Torah should be able to ward off all the enemies, that we should have a world of justice, a world of morality, a world of Torah. The second is that Jewish people that are wandering, we have two types of wandering. We have wanderings that things are good, and wandering where our Torah is good, but we're physically in peril, or when we're doing well physically, but we then begin to become part of them, and our spirituality is in trouble. 1C is that all of this wandering, in the good times and in the difficult times, is in order to be able to bring a new type of Torah. This Torah Sheba'al Peh, these 85 psukim are alluding to, and will be able to bring back the original Luchos. Keep in mind, the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos, were found in this Aro. That the broken, the regular Luchos, the regular tablets, represent the Torah that we have, the written Torah. The Shivrei Luchos represent that oral tradition where all the letters were scattered and now they will once again be whole, and that's what the Vayihi ben Soa Aharon represents. That's the first part. Very briefly, let's take a look at this on an individual level. First is that vision, Vayihi ben Soa Aharon is that perfect vision. Rav Eisenman in Gedulei Musar, an El Rosh Hashanah, has a gevaldic footnote in 32 where he points out, unlike Rav Hirsch, he says, no. When Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Kuma Hashem, that's when Hashem got up. This is the vision of when Klal Yisrael are totally in sync with Ratzon Hashem, that Lusnati B'Rivei Paro, that we, so to speak, have the ability, it's hard even for us to say, unless the Sfarim tell us, that we can influence Kivyachol Hashem plan in this world, that we have this power, that when Moshe Rabbeinu being able to establish, get up, let the Aron move, let the Anan, let move. That is the power of what every Jew has. As he says here, Mefa'er Shekol Tachlit in the bracket, HaTorah Hi Lotzi Lepol Ba'olam Hazeh Tatzel Malokim B'Shabadav. We're here in order to bring out our image of God. Ki Mitzad Atzma Nefesh Elokim Shabadav Kula Shleimus. We're totally spiritual. We have a physical blockage, but we're totally spiritual. And our job is in the asterisk. This is showing us a vision of what it means to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. A vision for us to look for. That's why it's two psukim. It's a sefer Torah. Look at what type of person you can reach. That you have the ability through your brachos, through your tefillah, through your connection to Hashem, to be able to orchestrate, to direct the events in this world. That's our vision. Like on the first level, this is a perfected vision. This is a perfected vision for the individual. Just like on the first level, the second aspect is about the 2B. 1B is about the golos of Klal Yisrael, that we go through trials and tribulation. So notes in Siva Shalom, that's on individual level as well. And he brings here the idea that Vihine Mishra Teli Karevel Hashem Yiparach, anyone, 33, in the asterisk wants to come to close to Hashem, Sarich Lavo Bikodem. You have to go through challenges. The only way to grow in life is to be challenged. Specifically, Tamidei Chachamim, we are challenged. That's the idea of a nes. A challenge is also referred to as a banner. This is the banner that a person grows. And no, B'shat Nisayon Yeshi Stalkus Hamuchim 34, when we are challenged, our higher level thinking is gone, and we struggle, and we're in a real challenge to be able to hold on. All of us have experienced this, whether it's small challenges or big challenges, where you suddenly are like, Hashem, where are you? Like, help me go through this. I have so many voices in my head that say, why me? Why is this happening? What's going on? Where is Hashem? That's the Tefillah Moshe Rabbeinu for each and every one of us. Vayhi ben Soa Ha'aron, as we are the Aron. We encapsulate Tara within us. As each and every one of us moves through, Vayhi ben Soa, moves through our world, it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu, which have reverberating in our head, David, allow, Puma Hashem, the Yafutsu Aivecha, the Yanusu Mitzanecha Mipanecha, have those enemies get scattered away. Whether we're in small challenges and big challenges, take away the voices, take away the people, take away all those things that are going to block us from growing and from coming closer to you. Uvinucho Yomar, because everything in life is Vayesu Vayachanu. We travel and then we rest. We travel and when we rest. When we rest, we ask Hashem, enable us to be able, in the level of Asay Tov, of doing good, to connect to you, to feel close to you, to be able to do Torah and Mitzvot, to be able to be a conduit of holiness. As we know, the Masilas Yesharim tells us that we're in this world, La'amod B'Nisyonos, to withstand trials, and L'Shmor Mitzvot, and to keep the Torah. That's why we're here. That's what these two psukim are about. These two psukim are about Reshit Darkol Shel Yehudiyu B'Vchina B'Nisoa Aron, on the end of 35. Our first is that we have all the Sur Meirah. We have to overcome so many challenges, our mitos. And then, once we've overcome that, we then reach a place of Menucha, which is Asay Tov, to be able to reach our closeness, our Dveikus, to a Kurdish Baruch Hu. My friends, this is the way we are wired. Rebbetzin Feldbrand, in her Sefer, on Vafilu Bastara, even in darkness, she notes Hashem's tailor-made missions include challenges that are meant to bring our inner talents to light. Life and suffering are intertwined. We go through suffering as an opportunity to become one of Hashem's heroes, those who successfully respond to tests that come their way with complete confidence in Hashem. And Rabbeinu Bachaye notes, very famous, that all of Hashem's creations were created knowingly and willingly. At the time of the creation of the world, Hashem showed us what sort of life we would leave. The Neshama was informed of every single experience and every single event that he would encounter in his lifetime. So he was told how many years he would live, as well as when and how he would die. Everything. And you know what, my friends? We signed on the dotted line. Everything that happens to us, we know is for our best. We know, knowing that we were involved in choosing the challenges that Hashem sends our way, should be reassuring. In the world of truth, where the decision was made, it was clear to our soul, it's exactly what was needed. Rabbi Rosenblatt, it used to be called Finding Light in the Darkness, now it's called Why Bad Things Don't Happen to Good People. It's a fascinating, and I really highly recommend, Sefer, dealing with challenges in this world. Make it as a read that one of my classes has to read in seminary. I feel it's like really fundamental to have under your belt. He speaks about if a person, the Chazal say, go through 40 days without anything bad happening to them, that's not a good sign. Now, bad happening to them could be like, you need to put a quarter in the meter. Do they still have quarters in meters, or it's only visas? But if they still have a quarter in the meter, and instead you pull out a dime or a nickel, oh, where's that quarter, right? Back to my quarter of a cup, a third of a cup, those examples always give. I really should fix my cabinet and make it simple for myself. But again, that's my problem, not yours. And if you pick out the wrong cup, you need a third of a cup, you have a quarter of a cup. Those are the Yisurim of life. Why, if no one has them in 40 days, it's no good? It means that Hashem says, I don't need anything to wake you up. You're a lost cause. These are the wake-up calls that Hashem says, you want to grow. You want to become better. And he says, problems in Judaism, listen closely, the end of 38, far from being bad or a sign of spiritual vigor or vibrancy, The more a person moves forward, the more he or she will face with challenge and difficulty. This may not sound like much of an incentive to grow spiritually, but that is only if you look at pain as bad. As I've said before, and I will say again, asterisks on either side, pain is not our enemy. Distance from Hashem is our enemy. That's a great refrigerator magnet. Pain is the means through which we can fight the enemy and win the battle of this world. We can learn not to be frustrated and upset by pain, but rather to embrace it as a friend which is here to help us fulfill our potential. Then we will have the ability to deal with the question of bad things happening. With this, my friends, we can appreciate, says Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld Zatzal, the reason why we have these psukim when we take out the Aron. We know the Zohar Kadosh says that when you take out the Aron, the gates of Rachamim are open. This is an intense time of love of Hashem. And that's why we say the Brich Shmei in Aramaic. Because this is such a time of Rachamim that the negative forces come to try to take away this. And we say verses in Aramaic to just try to get them away from us. And this is something that we should know. On Yontif, we just said Shavuos, we say Hashem Hashem Karachum V'chanun. We have the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And then we have a special tefillah. You know, people say in Rosh Hashanah, when is the time to daven? Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. This is the time to daven, I was told. One of the times to daven for personal things. When the Aron is open, this is the time that the Sharei Rachamim are open. And since we don't want the negative forces to take away this special moment of closeness, and it's a gewaltic moment to daven, we say, "Vayhi ben soa aron, kuma Hashem, v'yafutzo ivecho, v'enusu mitzanecha mipanecha." Who are we referring to? We're referring to these negative forces. We're referring to that these forces that are trying to keep us away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they should all be obliterated. So that we have, when we put back the Aron of Venuchel Yomar, we just feel this level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the Aron being open is the time to connect. The time to daven is the time of gewaltic closeness. Let's summarize and we'll end with one final idea, Mir Tashem. First level, this is a vision of the future. And how do we get there? Torah is going to have to fight off the enemies. The Torah will have to speak for itself, justice, and what the world is all about, and there's so many enemies. We go through galus, we go through challenges in life. And finally, the Torah itself is going to be expanded. Torah, a new Torah will come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Torah of picking up all the sparks throughout the generation. On the second level, my friends, we have a vision of the perfected being that Moshe speaks kivyachol and the Onan follows. And we also know that this is a Torah b'fnei atzmo, because if you had to encapsulate the entire Torah, it's what the Mesillat Yesharim says. We're here la'amod b'nisyonos and lishmar mitzvotav, and to keep Hashem's mitzvot. That's these psukim. Vayhi ben soa aron is the struggles in the nisyonos and the challenges. Uvenucha yomar is the aseh tov. Sor meirav aseh tov is doing good after we've gotten rid of the evil of being able to serve Hashem. And obviously it's a spiral throughout our lives. And now when we open the Torah, think about all those sparks that we have to pick up. When we open the Aron for the Torah, think about this such a time of rachamim, of mercy, mamish, a gewaltic time to daven. And hence we ask Hashem to take away all those negative forces. Final idea is the Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim in 25 points out. Sorry, not at 25. The Baal HaTurim in 18 points out that Vayhi ben soa aron contains precisely 12 words paralleling the, sorry, it's 85 letters in the, not 85, I said 85 words, it's 85 letters in the Torah Shemal Peh, just correcting myself. There are 12 words, and the second pasuk is 7 words. There are 12 words in the last pasuk, L'chol Yada Chazaka, in the last pasuk of the Chumash, and there are 7 words in the first pasuk of the Chumash. The 12 words, the 7 words, parallel the last pasuk of the Torah and the first pasuk of the Torah. This is the entirety of the Torah. And the nuns are upside down, as the Shemana Tov points out in Source 40, that first is the last pasuk and then the first pasuk. We haven't gotten to the world where things should go in the natural order. We're still struggling. We We still have the Shivrei Luchos. L'chol Yad HaChazaka is the broken Luchos. We're not up to yet the Breishis Bara, the new creation. And our hope is that those nuns that are inverted become back to normal. And when you put two nuns together, you get the letter Samech. Samech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. That's the complete circle. Our lives, our golos, both at an individual level and a national level, we're somewhere along that circle. But never give up. Always know, the Shulei Pinchas says, that when you're falling with one nun, there's another nun to pick you up. The two nuns together is somech. Be able to hold on for the full circle. Know that we'll never stay in the state, individually or collectively, of the fallen state, of the state of brokenness. But there is a somech Hashem l'chol anoflim. There is the samech that brings us back to wholeness. And then again, we will have this new Torah. We will have this ideal vision of complete connectivity to Hashem.